All right. Marriage supposed to be always and forever. Does it ever work out that way? For half the marriage, it never does. For half people, it never does. I don't know about you, but I'm excited this morning. 3 weeks here, and last night, I was not in here. I was kind of wondering what Ernie felt like, and Jacob, and the worship team, what some others felt like. Like last night, it's like, Laura, you want to walk down to the church? You know, it's like, what am I going to do? You know, it's like, I'm Saturday night, and I'm not doing it. 14 years sitting and tearing church down. You know, it's kind of like, what a difference. But I'm excited this morning. I started this family series last week, and, you know, how do we have a marriage? How do we have a successful marriage when the world offers a 50-50 chance that marriages are going to succeed? That's what the world offers. If you do it the way the world says, the way society has kind of outlined it, you have a 50-50 chance on succeeding in your marriage. And last week I began the series with, I think one of the most important points of the whole series is if you want a successful marriage, I can show you how you can cut your chances of divorce down to 1%. That you can have a 99% chance on success in your marriage if you do one simple thing. If you look at it up there on the screen, it's called seek God first. And some of you, as I shared last week, I said, while you're seeking your number two, seek your number one. Your spouse shouldn't be your number one. Your fiance, your boyfriend, they should not be your number one. God should be your number one. And so for those who aren't married, my challenge was seek your number one before you seek your number two. And then if you were married, my challenge was seek your number one together with your number two. Seek God first. And if you put God first, and I said one simple thing, if you pray every day with your spouse, you will literally cut your chance on divorce down to 1%. It's that simple. One simple thing. And so that kind of laid the foundation for the series. This morning, I want to talk about friends with benefits. How many here have Facebook? Anybody on Facebook? Come on now. I know more of you are on Facebook. Come on. Anybody got? How many friends? I mean, you guys, anybody got friends on Facebook? You know, is there kind of a contest to see how many friends you can get on Facebook? Here's my question. Are they really friends? Are they, I mean, truly, are they really friends? I mean, when you think of friends as someone you can trust, someone you can count on, someone you can depend on, someone you're sharing your life with and sharing your journey with, that there are our friends. You know, those things on Facebook, there are acquaintances, if they're even that. Some of you probably don't even know who they are. You're like, I get a request from friends of friends of friends. Anybody, you know, and it's like, I don't know who this person is, and they want to be my friend. You know, do you want to accept or not? Anybody get those emails besides me? You know, and it's like, I don't know who they are. You know, I accepted somebody that I thought was my cousin, but after I accepted it, it was kind of like, oh, this girl's different. You know, she's offered me some really, I don't want that. I had to go back and delete that one. You know, I mean, it's like, wait a minute, I thought you were my cousin or one of her kids. Same last name. You know, friends, how do we deal with friends? And this morning, I'm calling this morning's message, Friends with Benefits. I stole that title. Anybody seen the movie? Anybody? Anybody seen the movie called Friends with Benefits? It's about you're not married and you have a relationship, and what they add to that relationship, they added the degree of sex, all right? And what's interesting, I read the little concept about it. Here's what it said about the movie. Basically, it said this. Dolan and whoever the girl's name was began their relationship and added sex to the relationship, and it complicated everything. I went, duh. That don't take a genius. I'm going to tell you, if you're dating and you add sex to it, you just messed everything all up, guaranteed. You know, it's just the reality. Sex outside of marriage is messy. It just messes relationships up. And so I see that time going, that doesn't take a genius to figure that out. So as a matter of fact, you know, somebody that says that, I think, you know, it's really, I would title the movie Sex with Everyone. I mean, because that's kind of what they're talking about. You know, the way they define friends and the way they do that. So what I want to concentrate on this morning is, what is a friend? And if you want a successful marriage, you really need to be a friend with benefits. You truly need to be friends. You know, we start out our relationship that way. Now, many of us are married in here. Some of you aren't married yet. And some of you are dating. Some of you are courting. Some of you have friends of the opposite sex that you're interested in. And when you have those before you're married, you become friends first, don't you? You know, you kind of get to know one another. You become friends. You start understanding what they like, what they don't like. You start understanding what their dreams are. You know, it's like, well, what do you want? Oh, we have so much in common. And you go down that and you become friends. And that's kind of how the dating process, the courting process, that pre-marriage, that pre-fiance kind of goes through this. We're friends. We become good friends. And that friendship develops into a relationship where he finally proposes. And you become friends. And then you get married. And guess what goes out the door? Friendship. Am I right? I mean, we're married now. It doesn't matter what you like. It doesn't matter what you dislike. We're married now. You know, we just kind of go on with our lives. And so my challenge is this morning, and what I want to share with you is, if you really want an enjoyable marriage, you need to have this concept in your head. Whether you're getting ready to get married, whether you see that as something in the future you're desiring, or you're married right now, your spouse must be your very best friend. If you got your little outline out, I want you to kind of follow along. Let me read this scripture as we start. His mouth is most sweet. Oh, you know, there's a great book on love in the Bible. I mean, it's really a romantic book. It's called The Song of Solomon. You know, it's really risque. I mean, I've seen some great video. There's a video. I'll encourage you, if you want to go on YouTube, YouTube Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon dating. And the guys, and what it has, these guys using some of the sayings in the Bible as dating words. Oh, your neck is like the Tower of Babel. You know, that's your first line. You know, hey, I'm going to, you know, oh, your nose is like, you know, an ostrich or something. You know, just, yeah. I mean, it's really weird. You read the Song of Solomon. But look at what it says. Here's what she's saying about her husband. Look at what it says. His mouth is most sweet. I guess they must kiss. He is altogether desirable. I guess he's hot. This is my beloved. This is my friend. Circle my friend. This is my friend, O daughter of Jerusalem. This is my friend. Can we announce, and can you announce that your spouse, that fiance, that boyfriend, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be very plain here. Do not go out, date, call anybody a boyfriend that you're not willing to marry, period. Okay? I need somebody to go out with. Don't go out if you have to go out like that. You're just asking for trouble. Well, I'll change him. Ask Laura. It doesn't work. All right? You're not going to change much. I guarantee you. It's just, so go out with somebody that's going to be your friend. Start with this very best friend. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Is your spouse your very best friend? If you're dating and that's your fiance or that's somebody you want to marry, are they your very best friend? And see, I think that's the challenge for us. And that's hard. You know, do you know their likes and their dislikes? Do you know their dreams? Do you know the hopes? You know, it's not just those 145 people, or maybe you got 1,000 people you're friends with on Facebook. You know, do you have that one person you're sharing life with, and you're sharing those hopes and those dreams? And this is really hard in our world, because see, you know, our world and what we try to do is it's selfishness, and it's self-centeredness, and it's all about me. The school has this campaign called Civility. Why do we have to talk like that? Because we've lost this concept of friendship. We lost this idea of friendship. Because see, friendship, it's going to take energy and it's going to take work. And if you're like most of us, and I'll put myself in that category, when you're dating and when you're courting and when you're fiancé and you're doing through this process, you're giving energy in there. You're giving time. I remember talking on the phone for 2 hours with Laura. Anybody else do stuff like that when you're dating, you know, 2 hours? Now if we get 5 minutes, man, that's a long conversation on the phone. You know, then if it's 10 minutes long when you're sitting in the living room watching TV, 10 minutes. Hey, we got a commercial. You can talk now. Now, you guys are laughing because you know that's true now. Come on now. Don't think I'm not the only one in here, all right? You know? But see, being friends, it takes an investment. You got to give that time and that energy. You got to put yourself out there. And see, what I want to advocate this morning is marriage. It's really being a friend with benefits. It's that relationship that you have. And so what I've done is I made an acrostic with friends. That's it. I just made a little acrostic with friends. You can see the F up there now. And so as we go through this, I want you to realize when you do an acrostic, it's fun as a preacher to preach like this. But you get some weird words. So when I get some of these words, just chalk it up to Gary's weird, all right? You know, because the first word I want to say for the F, I want to use the word fruitful. Let me ask you this question. We who are married, or even if you're dating, or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your fiance, we can bring out the best in someone or the worst in someone, can we not? I know what to do to ruin the day with Laura. All right? I know the words to say. I know the things to do that the fruit that would bear from those words would not be good. This morning as I'm preaching, I could share some things up here this morning, and I could tell you as I watch Laura that, oh, I'm in trouble when I get home. We know those words. And here my challenge is this. In your relationship, are you bringing out the best or the worst? What are the fruits of that friendship? We know what it is. We know the things that build up and lift up. We know the things that bless. But we also know the things that go the other way. Here's the scripture. When God created man, here's the story. And here's the creation story. I want you to look at this. So God created man in his own image. Image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female. I'm not going to get into this discussion here. Marriage is for a man and a woman. Suffice it to say, we're done. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, circle that, and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I got a cousin, that multiply, I got a cousin, and their rule, and they have, is it 7 kids or 8? They have 8 kids now. They have 8. And it's like, we're going to have kids till God stops us. Okay, I guess they took that real literal. Some of you are good at this too, all right? I'm going to suffice to say that, all right? You know, I thought 3 was enough. I literally thought 2 was enough until Laura said there was a 3rd one. And we multiply. But that little, I think sometimes we tie these two words together, be fruitful and multiply, as the same thing. I want to separate those two. I want to say be fruitful in that relationship to bring out the best. You know what I think that is? How about the fruit of the Spirit? Look at this next scripture. Look at what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do we bring those out in our spouse? Do we have that friendship that produces this fruit? You know, if you want a happy marriage, you want an enduring marriage, because see, marriage is a journey. You know, many of us treat marriage as a destination. Whew, I'm married. We made it. Once you get married, those of us who've been married a while, almost 37 years in just a few weeks, it's a journey. And as a journey, I'm going to tell you, there's ups. And some of you are shaking your head because you know the next word. There's downs. The challenge is, are we producing good fruit in our relationship? See, is our marriage fruitful? Am I bringing out love? Am I bringing out patience? Am I bringing out kindness? Am I bringing out gentleness? Now, if I want to bring it out, guess what that means? That means I need to be patient. That means I need to be kind. That means I need to be gentle. If you want a relationship and you want a marriage that is exciting and fun and fulfilling, it begins with a fruitful relationship. You know, to me, like I said, I read that, be fruitful and multiply, I think about just having lots of kids. Well, I want you to look, when you look at that word fruitful, I want you to have a different mindset. When you see that word fruitful, I want you to think about the word, the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to think about those words, love, joy, peace. Because I think that's what God is calling us to. You know, are we going to produce good things in our marriage? I know what produces the negative. Like I said, I know those words. I know that thing I could say, that thing I could do that could ruin the whole day. But what about the things I can do that produces the good fruit, the glorious fruit? And I want to challenge us. Is your relationship producing good fruit? Do you have a friendship? Are you friends? I think many marriages are simply partnerships. They're just partners. We're in this to raise the kids, pay the bills, do a business, and we're just partners. And I want to challenge us to be friends. And it begins with producing some good fruit. And so if you want an enduring marriage, are you producing the right kind of fruit? Be fruitful and multiply. And I just want to challenge us with that. The second one, what is it? F-R-R. Okay, reciprocal. Like I told you, I'm going to have to really get some words here. Reciprocal. All right? That means it's a give and take. All right, let me give it that way. You know, how do you pick these words? It's a give and take. It's two people working things out. And it's a challenge. See, one person can be friendly and one cannot. That doesn't make friends. Have you ever wanted a friend with somebody and they just wouldn't be friends with you? I mean, you were reaching out to them and you wanted to be a friend and you were trying to do the right things and you were trying to be kind and considerate and loving and patient, but they didn't want to be a friend. And they struggled with that. And if a marriage is like that, if that's what a marriage is, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be conflict. And there's going to be coldness in it. When one wants and one doesn't, and it really doesn't work, and then there's those relationships where it's kind of like half and half, and then you get things of selfishness and mine, and we get into those kind of situations and sadness. But when both strive, giving and taking, love can flourish and prosper in a relationship. There's this passage that Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. And I could get into this. I've preached this. This is a great sermon material. And so I'm not going to preach it, but I want you to see the implication of what it's saying. And here it is. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Reciprocal. Give and take. Share with one another. Wives, submit to your husbands. To yourself. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. I kind of left some verses out. You can read it. It kind of talks about what Jesus did. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. It's saying, listen, give and take, submit, share. Share your life. It's not all about you. It's not all about what your selfish needs and what you want and what you expect and what you desire. There's this give and take. And as I looked at that, wives do this and husbands do this. And I think the key word here, you might want to write this word down here in this area, this reciprocal thing. You might want to write the word action. Because love is an action. Love isn't simply a feeling. Well, I feel in love. Anybody ever say something to you? Maybe you've heard this. Well, we just fell out of love. Anybody ever hear something like that? We just fell out of love. You say, people that say that kind of thing, what it does is, well, I'm not responsible. It just happened to us. What I want to say is love is something that takes work and energy. And so what are you doing to share that love? What are you doing to do those kind of things? It's kind of like, it's been a hard day at work and you go home and you fix your wife a bubble bath. Now, you notice I didn't raise my hand on that one. But I think, I'm trying to remember, did I ever do that? I don't remember if I ever did that. My wife's shaking her head no, so I guess I didn't. Because I'm sure if I did it, she would have remembered. Or maybe you get up and fix breakfast. Now, I have done that one, all right? Or just this, I think it was this week or last week, I fixed lunch. It's like, Laura, text me when you get off. I'm home. Dan doesn't have me at the church working as a slave. I'm home. Text me when you get off, and I'll have lunch made for you. And so she comes home, and lunch was ready. She only has 30 minutes. A lot of times I'm sitting at the couch waiting. What are we going to have for lunch when she walks in the door? But that time I fixed, it's what you do. You know, it's kind of like, you know, here, Gary, here's the remote. You pick the show tonight. You can control the remote. Yeah. It's a give and take in marriage. It's reciprocal. It's sharing. It's a journey together that we work on. It's that giving. That's what friends do. You know, you ever go out with your friends? It's like, well, where do you want to go tonight? Well, where do you want to go? Anybody ever have this argument? Anybody married that ever do this? We're going to go out for dinner. Well, where do you want to go? Well, I don't care. Well, I don't care either. You end up fighting because you don't know where either one wants to go. It's like, come on, pick a place. It doesn't matter. Because we want to do things for one another. See, it's that reciprocalness. That's what friendship is, and you have to have that. See, so in a marriage, you're producing some fruit. There's that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Those nine qualities is being produced. And in those qualities, you're sharing. It's a give and take. There's that reciprocalness in there that's going on, and that's what makes it friends. And that's what makes a marriage work and how it works. We have an I. If you're going to spell friends, you've got to get an I in there. And I put the word intimate. And just to make a real quick point, intimacy is more than sex, okay? Just to give you guys an idea on that. You know, guys kind of think, if you're like me, intimacy means let's have sex, all right? You know, but it's more than sex. I was reading Mark Driscoll, the pastor up in Seattle, Washington. He has a great book out on marriage. And I was reading, he said there's really three kinds of marriages. He says there's marriages that are back-to-back, marriages that are shoulder-to-shoulder, and marriages that are face-to-face. And he says, see, some people get married, and they have a marriage that's back-to-back. It's like they've just kind of turned their back. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. You do your thing here, you go there, I'll go here. We have separate vacations, we do all that. And they just turn their back on one another. They're just basically living under the same roof. And I've seen marriages like that. And I've heard of marriages like that. But then you have marriages that are shoulder-to-shoulder. You know, and they're raising the kids, and they're paying the bills, and they're, you know, they're working together in their jobs, and they're moving forward, and they're sharing their lives together. And there's that intimacy that comes, and they're shoulder to shoulder working on it. And then if you want to take it another level, you take that shoulder to shoulder, and you add that face to face, where there's conversation going on, where they're sharing words, and they're sharing feelings, and they're communicating with one another. And he's saying there's these three kinds of marriages. And here's the problem. Most women are face-to-face in their relationships. You know, they want to sit down and they'll go out and have coffee with their friends. And they'll sit around the table and they'll talk about everything. For hours they'll talk about everything, you know. Or they go out for dinner, or they, you know, they go over to their friend's house over, you know, a cupcake or something. And they just talk and talk and talk and. Because they're face-to-face. That's women. You guys, some of you are laughing at me. Isn't that true, though? Now, come on. I don't think I'm crazy here. But most guys are friends, and their basis of friendship is shoulder-to-shoulder. They work together. You know, they're at this together. They're journeying through life. It's the job. It's what they're doing together. And most guys, their friendships are shoulder-to-shoulder kind of friendships. And the challenge for a married couple is to put those two things together. To not only be shoulder to shoulder, we're in this together to raise our kids and to pay the bills and to build a home and to serve God, and we're shoulder to shoulder in this, but we're also face to face. Time to talk, time to share, time to be with one another. You know, and so, you know, for guys, we got to learn to be a little more open. We got to share a little more, you know. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't talk about my feelings that often. You know, it's like, But we need to learn to share those. And for women, it's kind of like you got to learn, you know, it's like, yeah, I got to sit there and watch football. Well, sometimes you might have to sit there and watch football shoulder to shoulder, you know. Baseball game, you know. It's fun with Laura and I, you know. Somebody was giving me a bad time. We were visiting the other night, and we were talking about traveling across country. And I stop at cemeteries, okay? That's just, I don't know. I just like going around reading headstones and looking. I'm looking for genealogy and all of that kind of stuff. And we drive all the way through Arkansas and Georgia and go to my cemeteries where my great-great-grandfathers are buried. Laura goes with me. Now, she might sit in the car with a book. Yeah, I remember we took a tour of, Vicksburg. And we took a tour of Vicksburg where they had the battle. And Laura's in the car, and I'm driving around looking and taking pictures and driving around. And it's finally, it's like, Laura, I want you to get out and take a picture of me by this. So she had to put her book down and get out of the car and walk across. But she's with me. She's sitting in the car. I got a CD going that tells me all about it. She does things like that. I hate grocery shopping. You want to go grocery shopping? No, I don't really want to go grocery shopping. I'll go to Costco with you. I can go look at other things, but yeah, I'll go with you down the milk aisle. You got to do things together. That's called, you know, you build that intimacy. It's, again, I think too many times we classify intimacy as it's that sex, and it's not. It's that shoulder to shoulder, face to face in our lives that we do. And and that's what we need in our marriages, and that's what we strive for in our marriages. And ultimately, it builds something. And so you have fruitfulness in your marriage, and you have this reciprocalness in your marriage, and you have this intimacy in your marriage. Look what the scripture says. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up and placed its place with flesh. And the rib from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. We've read this, and maybe you've heard that old saying, you know, he didn't take the bone out of his head to be above him, or out of his foot to be below him, but out of his rib to be beside him. That's kind of that shoulder-to-shoulder idea. And that's kind of what God said. And so I just want to encourage us there. Is there an intimacy in your relationship? You know, and, you know, for those who you're dating, you know, and that sex thing will complicate it, like that Friend movie said, Friends with Benefits said, it does complicate it. But you know what? If you learn to be intimate, shoulder to shoulder in your dating and your courting, when you're married, you're blessed because you can carry that through and it can bless your relationship. So that's intimacy. What do we have? F-R-I-E. Is E the next one? Am I spelling right? Enjoyable. I was going to ask if you have an enjoyable marriage, raise your hand, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. You know, marriage should be fun. Marriage should be enjoyable. It should be something that that just blesses you and does something to you. Look at what Ecclesiastes says. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, and all the days of vanity, for that is your portion of life, and in labor which you perform under the sun. That word vain means meaningless or empty. If you can read different translations, they'll have it that. So I like love. Live joyfully with your wife whom you love all the days of your meaningless, empty life. I'm going to tell you, life for me without Laura would be empty. Any other men would say that about their spouse? Any? I don't want to embarrass anybody else. You know, I hope so. You know, it would just be not the same. It's not the, I remember I'd go on the pastor's retreat, or I'd go up into the mountains, and I'm gone a day, and it's like, I got to call Laura. Laura, what's going on? You know, I want to talk to her every day. I have to buy a phone card because I would call her every day. You know, it's not like, well, I want to, what's going on at church? That's going to be all right. I just want to hear, you know, it's, you want that, there's joy. Marriage is fun. It's something that we should enjoy and get dressed up and go do. And we have something, date night. You hear us talk about date night all the time. And just doing things together and enjoying company together and enjoying going places together. One of Laura's my battles is this. Laura would work all week, and we got, you know, all stuff going on, and she comes to Saturday, and she's finally off work, and Saturday's before Sunday, and guess what Gary wants to do? Nothing. I don't want to do nothing on Saturday. And Laura's been working all day, and she says, let's go somewhere. I don't want to go anywhere. Yeah. That's, you know, how do we balance this kind of stuff? You know, let's go walking and look at garage sales. I'll do that. You know, get in the car and drive around. Long time ago, Laura and I had this conversation, and it's become more and more real since our kids have grown up and left. I'm not going to wait till I retire to enjoy life. You guys know how often I go to Disneyland. Why do you think? I could croak any day. You know, I want to go, and I'm going to enjoy life now. You know, like kids, hey, Jennifer and them say, hey, we're going to go to Disney World. You want to go with us? We're going to drive across the country. Drive. Okay, yeah, we'll drive across the country to Disney World. You know, I'm so blessed. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here. San Antonio's flooded right now. I was just watching another disaster going on in San Antonio right now. We need to pray. Disasters all over the place. We're going to talk about that at the end. But there, you know, I got to go through San Antonio. I went to New Orleans. Just so you know, went to New Orleans, went to Bourbon Street and all the just down there. Had Monet's at the famous place there. You know, just those kind of things, you know, Disney World, Biloxi, Mississippi. But when I was in New Orleans, just so you know, I did go to the cemetery there with all the above ground tombs. Had to go look at all of that. And Jennifer and the kids really got into that. They had as much fun as I did there going through the cemetery. Yeah. Because we enjoy doing things together. We enjoy being together. And so I just want to challenge you, what are you doing to enjoy? Is your marriage fun? Are you doing fun things? If you're dating in court, you know, when you're dating, that's what all dating is all about, isn't it? It's about going out and having fun. Now, I don't know how much fun it is to go out and get drunk and come in plastered and puke in the toilet. I don't understand that fun, you know, but then you don't remember, what did we do last night? I don't know. Dummy. How do we balance all of this? You know, so are you enjoying? Marriage should be fun. Are you building enjoyment into your relationship? Do you have time? Will you go walk around Costco? Guys? Yeah. Clothes shopping. Laura was talking the other day. Since Jenny moved, it's been kind of hard. She likes going to Kohl's. I said, well, I'll go with you to Kohl's. She said it yesterday. I said, I'll go to Kohl's. She goes, it's not the same. Yeah. We stopped by the other day. We stopped by the outlets on 580, the new outlets. Went in. She was looking for some items to went in. And I went in there. You got a bench for me to sit on? I'll come in and sit down, you know. Enjoyable. Are we doing things? Are we enjoying life together? You know. Again, it kind of goes back to that back-to-back. It kind of goes back to that intimacy. It even kind of goes back to that reciprocal stuff. It all fits together. Is your marriage enjoyable? Will you build that into your relationships? How about the end? Do you realize you need one another? Do you realize you need one another? We read this scripture and we always think about men. All right? And the Lord God said, it was not good for man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. God's going to make a helpmate for him. He created woman as a helpmate. Because it's not good for men. Now, most women are going to go, yeah, I know it's not good to leave my husband alone. You know, yeah, I know the mess that ends up in the kitchen. I know what his clothes look. You know, but it's bigger than that. We need one another. We complement one another. We're there for one another. You know, the man needs someone to converse with. He needs to learn to converse and to communicate. And the woman needs somebody to help and to sustain and to encourage and to build up. And we need that. We need that emotional support. We need that physical support. We need that spiritual support. We need those things. And what's hard to realize is our society challenges us. Society says, be a man, stand up. You don't need anybody. Be strong. Isn't that what society says? You know, the society says, you don't need anybody. You know, I've sat there as a pastor, and I've had conversations with guys, and I can't talk about women, but I can talk about guys, and the guy goes, I don't need anybody. I got God. Well, you're lying. You're calling God a liar because God says you need somebody right here, so you're calling God a liar. We need one another, literally. I've often wondered, why do you think they call prison and put you in isolation punishment? Because it hurts to be alone. There's something missing. See, we need each other and we need to challenge us. And do you realize that? Do you realize? I'm more than willing to sit up and say, I need Laura. Some of you guys are going, yeah, we know. I need her more. Some of you know I need her more than just packing my clothes when I go so I know what I'm wearing. You know. But I need her in my life. She's a significant, there's something about her life and who she is that blesses me. And we need our spouses. We need that person to journey through life with and to walk through life with. So we're needed. How about D? D stands for devoted. There's this little phrase when you get married many times. I think they somewhat kind of pass away, and I don't know if they're used much. You know, I meant to look through mine and see if I still use these words. I don't remember. Maybe I used something similar to him, but I wrote these words down. Yeah, you know, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Anybody remember those words? How often does those words disappear when you're married? Man, these are tough times, and we end up fighting with one another. We end up arguing with one another. We kind of forget about, I'm here for the good times. We lived happily ever after. There was never a bad day in our life. Yeah, I don't know who you're lying to. It's tough. There's good times and bad times in a marriage. It's not easy. Life throws curveballs at us. Life has heartaches. Life has troubles. It's life. And I'm going to tell you, life's not fair. If you haven't realized that yet, listen to me. Life is not fair. It's not. That's just life. You need somebody in your life that's devoted to you. That's what friendship is all about. Look at what the scripture says. Friends love through all kinds of weather. Families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Is that true? Yeah. Being there through the thick and the thin, being there through all that goes on. As I was writing this, I was thinking back to, I was saying something to others about a song by the Birds. Anybody? Who remembers a group called the Birds? Anybody? Come on now. They had a song called Turn, Turn, Turn. Anybody remember that song? That's scripture. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. These young ones are looking at me like, I have no idea who that is. Look it up on the internet. It's a great song. There's a time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to cast away. Some of you read, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Really great. That's what marriage is about. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. But you're devoted to one another. You can trust them. They're going to be there. And here's what's amazing. When you go through those tough times, it makes you stronger. When you go through those hard times, it draws you closer together. See, they're not always bad. They can be blessings if you use them in your life. And they're devoted. And you make that commitment and you keep that commitment. And that's part of what marriage is about. And now we look at the S. I'm going to wrap this up with this word, sanctify. Sanctifying. Nice biblical word. You got, yeah, like I say, you're going to have some weird words in here. Sanctifying means to make holy. You might want to write that down, to make holy. That's what the word sanctify means. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you something. You guys are a bunch of rotten sinners. All right? But you know what? I am too. We all are flawed. We all fail. We're all imperfect. We all have issues. But you know what marriage does? Marriage takes two imperfect people together. And through that imperfection, they come out better. On the other end, they come out more holier. They come out looking better, sounding better, and being better in their lives. See, and that's what this is. See, marriage, you know, all of a sudden that self-centeredness and that selfishness and all that seems to start fading away, and we start putting all those things away. And then when we do fall, when we do mess up, your spouse picks you up. Your spouse ministers, your spouse walks with you through those times. Look at the scripture. I like what it says. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, the one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. See, it's about being there for one another and making each other better. Anybody here ever have a fair weather friend? Anybody? You know, you have a friend that was with you when things were good, and then when things turn bad, they're gone. You know, nobody's raising their hand. Come on now, you guys, we've all been in that boat. You know, they're hanging with us and things are good, and all of a sudden, man, things aren't so good, they go away. You know, I can tell you stories about in this town being here so long when, you know, somebody would get their government check for whatever reason, and he'd have all sorts of friends over. And then the money's gone, and guess what? Not only is the money gone, all the friends are gone. The month rolls around, the check comes back, and guess who's there? All the friends. Fair weather friends. What we need are friends that are devoted and it's going to make us better. It's going to sanctify us and walk with us and lovingly, patiently pick us up and graciously care for us when we fall. You ever fall and you ever have issues and somebody looks at you and says, just get over it. You know, just get over it. Sometimes we need somebody to put their arm around us. And I like that verse, pick us up. somebody to pat us on the back and say, I'm going to be with you through this. I'm going to help you. We're not going to leave you. You know, and it's going to stick with you and be that devoted. And I think that's, you know, do you make your spouse better? So I want to challenge us. You know, we do a lot of this when we're dating. And if you're dating, do these things. If you know, you're looking at building a great relationship in your marriage, again, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it again and again and again. Do not date, go out, hang out, run around with anybody you don't want to be your spouse. Period. Don't. Don't start, you started liking him, and I'm going to change him. It ain't going to work. Ask most wives in here. They'll tell you. You ain't going to change him. Am I right? Most women, some of you ladies have been married. Can you really change a guy? I mean, look at all the heads saying no. Okay, girls, if you're not married, look around. They'll tell you. You're not going to change him. Only go out with people that you're willing to be friends with now, that you're going to invest your life, your energy, your time in, that when you're married, that friendship continues. And my challenge to those of us who are married, will we continue that friendship? Or have you put it aside? I'm married now. I don't need to be friends anymore. You know, I've hooked her. You know, I chased him. I caught him. And now it's over. You know, will you make him your friend? At the bottom of your page, I put it this way. My wife, my husband, is my very best friend. Circle whichever one it is. And if you're dating, I don't know what you're going to say. Single, I'm going to give you that. If you're we were talking this morning in our prayer time. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. And somebody reminded me, we got to pray for your great-grandchildren. Some of you have great-grandchildren. Pray for them. If you think anything about this message, start praying for them to have those kind of relationships. I pray for my kids' relationships this morning. As I walked around this place this morning, I prayed for my kids. I prayed for Jeremiah and Tessa. I prayed for Amanda and Donald. And I prayed for Jennifer and Tommy. And I prayed that they would have a wonderful marriage and a great relationship, and they would love one another and nurture in God and raise my grandkids in God. That's my prayer. You know. And so I think there's many things we can do. And so I want to challenge you. Where are you at? Who's your friend? It's not always on that Facebook, I'm going to tell you. If you count all those as friends, you're in trouble. But who's your very best friend? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your wisdom. Lord, you created us and you formed us. And we're not perfect. We are flawed and we are sinners and we do fail. But you love us and you care for us. And Lord, you created this relationship called marriage. I pray for those who are dating right now, Lord, that you'll guide them to the one that you have chosen, and that would bless their life and bring out the best in them and truly be friends. I pray for us who are married, Lord, that we'll be the friends and the very best friend to our spouse. I pray for grandparents and parents and great-grandparents, Lord, that you'll bless them as they pray for their families, as they pray for their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Lord, and that you answer those prayers as you guard those families. Lord, I just ask you to honor our marriages today, that they bring glory to you and praise to your kingdom, and what a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen.